Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. It is, of course, January 6th. It is the fifth anniversary of that fateful day, the insurrection, the wandering through the Capitol. And as much as we make light of the fact that it was anything but an insurrection, it was not violent, nobody had weapons, nobody from the police were killed, it was a tragedy. It was an event in which multiple people on our side were killed, some of them brutally. For Ashley Babbitt, she was murdered at point-blank range by a man who has now been discovered has defrauded the American government for around $190 million. And of course, the situation around her getting shot was so outrageous, and you can see from the videos on that day that they could have stopped her at any point. They actually moved police out of the way. That only allowed her to move forward. If they'd never moved those police, she never would have tried to go through the door, never would have been shot by Michael Byrd. Our reporter, Sam Montoya, was there in the room filming when it happened. He later went to jail despite being a journalist. They're capturing the event and really got put through the ringer as a consequence of this. And he joins me now by telephone. You can follow him on X at Sam C. Montoya. Sam, thank you so much for calling in. It's great to hear from you.
Harrison, hey, buddy. It's good to talk to you in a new year, 2026. Can you hear me good?
Man, you sound upbeat, and it wasn't always the case, man. There was a time there for a while that you were really suffering under the oppression from the United States government. How do you feel now, looking back 5 years later on how everything went down on January 6th? What's your perspective now from so far away?
Right on. Well, what a question, right? 5 years later, and I mean, so much has changed. It's a pleasure to be with you on the War Room. You know, my old stomping grounds, I used to be the editor there, and that was just the best time of my life. But I'll tell you, obviously, they definitely tried to persecute me. And I know that it was because I worked at InfoWars that they tried even harder to try to, you know, maybe go to Alex through me, yeah, find something that I did wrong, that InfoWars may have done wrong so that they could continue their persecution. But God is good. He's a miracle worker. And, I mean, look where we're at now. We got Trump as president. And, things are definitely upbeat, just like you said.
Well, but tell us what happened with you. I mean, you spent some time behind bars from this, right? I mean, are you just trying to put all that behind you? But what happened to you exactly?
You know, I guess you're right. That was hard stuff. And I think about it every year. It's not a great anniversary. You know, I sometimes tell people happy January 6th, but at the same time, I heard you earlier talking about Ashley Babbitt.
Yeah.
And it's more of a somber memorial that we should have for her, because in my eyes, she was there as a patriot.
Yeah.
And she didn't even get the military burial that she deserved.
Right.
And I just hope that one day people advocate that changes. Maybe President Trump can do something about that, because that's not right. But to start from the beginning, actually, my journey might actually more begin with January 20th, the day Biden got inaugurated.
Right.
January 20th, 2021. That's when things started going south for me. But I'll say, obviously January 6th was a day that, you know, a lot of people have different opinions about, but from my perspective, I know why I was there. I know why InfoWars was there, and we were there to protest the fraudulent, certification,
yeah,
of votes in certain states where the votes had been manipulated in certain ways, and all we wanted was to have a recount.
Yeah, and we were there specifically to support Congress in what they were doing.
Right.
It literally, the last thing we wanted was to have a disruption in those proceedings. So the whole narrative around this has been wrong from the beginning. More with Sam Montoya on the other side. This man has been through hell because he happened to be there trying to do what's right.
I'm funded by you, and I appreciate your support. Very humbly, thank you for your support, those that have. Those that have it, what are you waiting for? Our information is bar none the best. The supplements are game-changing. The Methylene Blue, the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. But there's a deal going for a few more days where you buy any supplement and get a bottle of the Shilajit gummies or Atomic Defense Super Immune Booster free. You choose which free gift you want. That funds our operation at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank those that have stood with us. If you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. Just in your profile, $30 a month, cancel anytime, no charge. You get $40 every time you spend $30 to spend. So you make $10, you're going to buy anything, you should be a VIP. You get special deals, special offers, special sales on top of everything. Also, you get big discounts when you use the app for Android or for Apple at alexjonesapp.com. Just links you through to get the free apps right there. So it's the same shopping cart online. Thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank you all for your support.
Tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, 5 years on, the tragedy of January 6th still lives on. The people that started the riot in the first place, I'd blame that squarely on the Capitol Police, who fired into a peaceful crowd, driving them forward into the insufficient line of police that then fell back. The electronic doors were opened mysteriously. You had police high-fiving people as they went in. Those people later to be dragged out of their home in the middle of the night and charged with terrorism and sent to jail, in some cases for decades. Luckily, they've all been pardoned by President Trump. One of maybe four or five things I would point to in Trump's administration as unqualified good. No, well, it's good, but it could be better. No, well, it was okay. Well, and even that, maybe I could caveat that because I know people like Joe Biggs and Stuart Rhodes are looking for a pardon, not a commutation. So, all right, even that, maybe a little bit. But regardless, he promised he would pardon everybody. He pardoned everybody. Blanket pardon. Sam Montoya, our former editor and cameraman and reporter here at InfoWars, was one of those pardoned. Thank God. I would add, by the way, to Trump's unqualified victories is the total destruction of the childhood vaccine schedule that he did yesterday, taking it from 72 to 11. So there have been some really good things from Trump, and I think the best thing he's done so far are these January 6th pardons. They were a rectification of an injustice. But the people that carried these out, the people that put my friends in jail, the people that hunted down thousands of innocent people, destroyed their lives, leaving many people to suicide and in the worst case scenario, but divorces and just ruining people's lives. They haven't been held to account. People that carried on the January 6th fake show trial have not been punished. Michael Byrd, who murdered Ashley Babbitt in cold blood, shooting her at point blank range without warning in a totally unnecessary murder, was not only rewarded and given a medal over it, it's now been revealed he ran a scheme, the one of these child care schemes, bilking $190 million out of the U.S. government, which I can't help but think was somehow a part of what allowed him to get away with it all. Sam Montoya joins me now by phone. You can follow him on X at Sam C. Montoya. 5 years later, we're revisiting January 6th. How do you feel about what has happened in the ensuing 5 years, and especially in the last year? Obviously, we're so happy that Trump pardoned everybody, but I'd say it hasn't been enough. We still haven't seen charges for the people that did this to you all, and that's sort of an inconsistency. If we recognize that it was an illegitimate prosecution, if we recognize these people were railroaded and oppressed by their own government, somebody has to pay for that. Sam, what's your take on all of this, and how do you feel that Trump has handled this situation so far?
You know, listening to you there, Harrison, it's so important that we tell our story truthfully, because all day long I've been seeing that this is a day that Trump is going to whitewash, that he's going to rewrite history. That's what the mainstream media is saying, and that's not true. I was there, and I know what I saw. I know who was where, what they were saying. And it's not the story. The people that are trying to change and rewrite history is them.
Right.
It's like you said, it's the things that Michael Byrd did, they're covering up. Not that we don't know what he did, but the way that they're portraying it, this is a man who's a murderer. And this is a man who is, in my opinion, he was an assassin. Yeah. The way that he pointed that gun at Ashley Babbitt that day. Okay, so, and that's the truth of it. I was there. Now, I will also say one other thing. You asked how I feel about being pardoned. What can a man say? How many people get the chance to get pardoned by a president in their whole life? And of course, you know, everyone feels like they're innocent. But I will say this, you know, thinking about what I could say, this or that, you know, I've recently been locking in on my Bible reading like I should, 2026. And I feel like I have to give God glory because I don't think it was Trump that pardoned me. I think God pardoned me because he used Trump to right something that was wrong. He used Trump to bring justice to the unjustifiable persecution right. of American citizens by the government. So that being said, obviously Trump is not, you know, an angel. I'm not saying anything like that. But I know that God's hand is on him. And that he's anointed for this time, and I have evidence because even though I was going through that, you know, persecution and political, you know, obstacle, because I had to spend so much money of my own money to fight in the courts. I had to spend so much time, my reputation, and I wasn't the only one. But they really went after me, obviously, because at the time I was working for InfoWars. And I will say this, too. I wish that somebody had told me not to go in, to be honest. And I'll tell you what I mean by that, because at the moment that everybody was at the Capitol building, we got separated. We were separated. And so, you know, nobody told me to go in. But my training kicked in because, you know, you had been my colleague for many years. And you saw that whenever there was something going on, whether it's a BLM protest or an Antifa, you know, protest or here or there with Owen, with Savannah, with whatever, you know, I would volunteer. I'd go out there. I'd been out there in the field, as they say, many times. So seeing that people were going in, I went in. And the rest is history. You can watch my video with no edits. We posted it right away as soon as I got back. And it starts with me outside the building. And sadly ends with the murder and assassination of Ashley Babbitt, a patriot, and in my opinion, a martyr, because we all could have gotten hurt, you know, as if the police had, you know, decided to start shooting a bunch of people, something like that. But when the people, you know, feel that they're put into a corner, of course, protests are going to happen. So I was there to record, like you said. There were other people from other news organizations that were also in the building. Even on my footage, I was standing next to somebody who was with National Geographic, and he had this big, nice camera. All I had was an iPhone, and I got better footage than he did, probably.
Right.
But the point is that he was there, there were others there, but the government, Biden's government, chose not to even speak to them or anything like that because they wanted to persecute me because I worked for InfoWars, and that's not right. So, you know, looking back as, you know, what's gone on through these 5 years, I just see God's hand moving on America, God's hand moving on Trump, on my life, and bringing us to a place where we can be prosperous and know that, you know, he is going to be in control, and he's going to be the one to help us get through the tribulation to the light at the end of the tunnel. So that's kind of how I feel about it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, and you know, I've just I always so admire anybody I talk to and I'm friends with that you know, whether it's Stuart Rhodes or Enrique Tarrio or Joe Biggs. I mean, you guys are something special. I mean, it's you know, clearly everybody who went through the experience you went through has come out on the other side so much more faithful and so much more sort of grounded in their beliefs. Like, I don't know anybody that went, oh, that was stupid, I was wrong, I should have never been there. Everybody goes, no, it was right, I was there, and I had to suffer the punishment, and that's what God wanted for me, so that's what I'm going to do. It's just, it's incredibly admirable. What is your take on the rest of what Trump has been doing this year, and the FBI, and Do you think there's going to be justice for the people that did this to you, that went after you, that tried to pressure you to, you know, claim Alex ordered you or whatever happened? I'm just speculating here, but obviously the prosecutions were totally illegitimate. The complete fabricated show trial was a complete farce and an insult to our judicial system. Well, what do you want to see Trump do? Are you happy with what he's doing so far? And what's your take on the FBI now that Kash Patel is in charge?
Yeah, that's a topic I guess I haven't really thought about, because as a Christian, you want to always think about forgiveness. Mm. Even though, you know, when people do you wrong, they do deserve to be held accountable, 100%. So I will tell you this, thinking about it right now, I'm not happy. I'm not happy that these people are still out there, because they're going to do it again.
Right.
You know, this is why we don't let pedophiles go. This is why we don't let murderers go. They're going to go out and they're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because of deep state loyalties between different, you know, these three-letter alphabet, organizations. They try to, you know, cover each other's ass, try to say, no, he was just following orders, this or that. And so they prevent these prosecutions from taking place because people need to go to jail.
Yeah.
But what they did, people need to go to jail, but, you know, it's tough because you look at the way people are framing the story in mainstream media, and they're playing over and over and over these certain clips, like where the guy's getting crushed.
Mm-hmm.
I've been crushed harder at a concert,
right,
you know, at Rage Against the Machine. And I'm not even saying nothing to that guy, but he didn't die. I was standing next to a person that died that day. I was standing next to Ashley Babbitt. And they keep on with this narrative that it caused people to commit suicide later on. Hey, you know, we all go through a wilderness. I'm not saying it's a good thing, and I'm trying to have compassion for these men. But you think I didn't go through depression when my own government was – I was locked in my house. I had an ankle monitor around my ankle. I couldn't go anywhere. I could go to church for an hour once a week. I could go to the grocery store just to pick up groceries for an hour once a week. The rest of the time, locked in my house, and my own home was a prison. I mean, Owen went through persecution too. And I'm not saying he, you know, that it was the same or different. What I'm saying is he didn't even go in. I did, you know. And like you said, I know that it's fine. I'm fine. I'm fine with persecution. I know God made me stronger about it. But like you're saying, if Trump doesn't get his act together and get these people where they stand, it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen worse. So I don't know if there's things going on. Maybe Kash Patel bit off more than he can chew with being able to address this deep state issue, but it has to be a priority. Now, I will say this, though, seeing that Trump he has a lot of irons in the fire, as they say. He can multitask better than any president, obviously, and seeing what he's done with Venezuela, seeing what he's done with the vaccines and health and what he's done with all these other things, that he's able to keep doing other things. He might be already investigating some of these people that were responsible for exacerbating the situation at January 6th, because really there were so many things that could have happened that would have made January 6th a very safe and normal protest, you know, without there being more than just people with signs and, you know, yelling or whatever, like any protest. But those safeguards are not there, and people took advantage. People went in.
Yeah.
So I definitely do hope that Trump gets a handle on this, but I don't know. I trust him and I trust God, so I guess I'm just hopeful.
Well, and the thing I don't trust necessarily is the American people being able to sort of see through the lies. I guess that's sort of my final question for you. And I appreciate you calling in, and you know, we miss you here. And of course, I want to again encourage people to follow you on X at Sam C. Montoya. And you can just see the quality, the level of people that we have behind the scenes at InfoWars. I mean, Sam's obviously an exceptional guy, but not amongst us, right? Like, this is the level of, like, commitment and level-headedness. Like, this is who we are at InfoWars, and we've paid the price for it, and Sam has paid the price greater than just about any of us. So we really owe him a debt of gratitude. So my last question for you is sort of what do you think of the historical fact of January 6th now? What do you think the average American feels about it? How do you think the story of January 6th has changed? And like looking into the future, what do you think people are going to believe about January 6th maybe 100 years from now? How do you think January 6th is being treated historically?
I think that people are definitely trying to make it seem like a Pearl Harbor situation, a 9/11 situation, with, you know, the leftist mainstream media pushing that narrative. However, I think that there's enough people that are using their mind and their logic to listen and to understand the testimonies of people like me and other people that were there so that they can see the full story. So I'm hopeful that people will see the full story later on, but it's really going to take people who were there, like me. You know, there were other people that you know that were there, friends of ours that were there, that they have to continue to share their version of it, because it can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming when everybody is telling you, this is how it was, this is what happened, and it just wasn't like that for you. Mm. And it just and that's not why I was there. I wasn't there to go in a building. I wasn't there to do anything against the police. I was there to take a stand for my values, for the Republic of that gave me everything I have. I was there because I was grateful. And I will say one last thing before you let me go. You know that text message about it being wild, that Trump said it's going to be wild? Yeah. That was about InfoWars. He didn't say anything. And I don't know if you guys have ever said this story, but basically he had planned to walk down Constitutional Avenue. None of this happened because the rest is history. But his plan was to walk down Constitutional Avenue, up the Capitol steps, stand next to Alex with a bullhorn, and give a speech. And it was going to be wild. And that's what he was talking about. None of that happened.
Right.
And that sucked. But, you know, it's that kind of, you know, he's a master at marketing. He knows how to get the message across. Something like that would have been on every newspaper in the world if that image had taken place, but that didn't. That didn't. And you know, that's maybe unfortunate because it was not how we planned that day to go, but God is going to do something in America. He's done something in America. And even if we had to go through the wilderness for 4 years with Joseph Retard Biden, we still came out with Donald John Trump. And so I just give God the glory for that.
Well, let me keep you on for a little longer because I'm going to tell the crew, go back to that video because we were just coming up to the part of the video, and this video is full unedited from the day you uploaded it on January 6th, 5 years ago. It's on band.video. It's your full, you know, unedited what you captured that day going in. And it ends, of course, with the assassination of Ashley Babbitt. And you were just talking about sort of the misconceptions people have, the way this is portrayed that's so inaccurate. Walk us through this. Tell us what you were experiencing, what you were feeling at this moment. I mean, when the gun goes off, it must have been a shock. What was the mood, you know, leading up to it? And then when the gunshot goes off, how does it feel? And sorry, before you answer, I just want to point out to people watching the video, they're the police leaving, right? The police were standing there blocking the way. They move out of the way. They leave, allowing Ashley Babbitt to move forward where she's shot. I mean, this was a setup. So I just want to say that. And there's the shoot happened. So walk us through this. What was it like being there on the ground? This is Sam Montoya's footage that you're seeing right here.
Cool. I can't, you know, I'm just on the phone. I can't see what you're looking at, but I think I've seen that footage a billion times.
Yeah.
So I'll try to remember. Let me say that, of course, again, being a Christian, I look at things through a spiritual lens first, and there's a scream. There's a scream on that footage that just sounds very demonic, and it happens literally right before the shot rings off into Ashley, towards Ashley and gets her. So I don't know what was going on in that room, but I definitely feel like there was a darkness, that there was a principality situation, you know, going on. And I'll say this, as far as the way I was feeling physically, my heart was beating, you know, I had adrenaline pumping, I'm sure. And just like you saw that police officer getting crushed, I was surrounded, you know, by other protesters, patriots, you know, on all sides. I didn't feel like I was getting crushed. But what I'm saying is I definitely felt like claustrophobic, to where I just felt like something was about to happen. And you don't see this on the footage because my camera's pointed towards the speaker's lobby windows and stuff like that. But I stuck my hands up in the air and I put up a peace sign, you know, like a hippie. And I just start yelling, peace. Peace. I didn't know what else to do because everybody was going, you know, they were all getting excited, a little riled up, and the police were getting, you know, information or for whatever was going to happen. But then right as soon as I'm done yelling peace, the shot rings out and I see, you know, what's going on with Ashley. I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe that somebody had gotten hit right in front of me. I just, you know, let my training kick in and tried to keep the whatever was happening in focus, and while also, you know, in frame or however you want to say it, but while also staying out of the way of the police officers, because the number one priority was to try to save her life. If you're asking me how I was feeling in that exact moment, that's it. I really wasn't thinking about the camera. I mean, but putting it down wouldn't have done anything. So I obviously kept holding on to the camera. But you see me stay in there, and I'm going to cuss, but as soon as he gets shot, and I say, because I'm telling people that we need to try to get her body to an ambulance or something. So you do see that happen, and then I go back into the speaker's lobby. She was still there. I find out later that one of the cops was telling me, he was like, "We even if you would have cleared away a path for us, we wouldn't have taken it." And I was like, "Why? If I would have cleared a path for you, you still wouldn't have taken it?" He's like, "Because we don't know what's going to happen down that path." So from a law enforcement perspective, it would have been dangerous for them to go down a path with her. And I was like, "Well, that doesn't make sense to me because you should be trying to save her life."
Right.
Right. But wow. they had to try to give her, render medical aid right there. And you see them, I guess, try, but before they take her down the stairs to another doorway.
You know, I was live covering because everybody from InfoWars was there. So I was sitting in the big seat doing Alex Jones show, and I'll never forget the moment that I saw them wheel her out on the stretcher. I mean, that image is burned into my brain. I can only imagine what it's like for you. Thank you so much for calling in, Sam. Follow Sam on X at Sam C Montoya. So good to hear from you, man. And, so glad that you're able to put this behind you and move on. You're not sitting rotting away in a jail cell. And, you, like so many others, have seemingly been strengthened by this and strengthened in your faith by it and everything. Thanks so much, man.
Miss you guys. Love you guys.
Thanks. Love you too. God bless. Sam Montoya. Follow him at Sam C Montoya on X. Really an incredibly brave guy who just went through hell thanks to the Biden administration, and came out strong on the other side. Absolutely incredible. We'll be back with more on the other side. Still a lot of big stories to cover, and we'll be right back. Remember to support us at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones' picture is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a three-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Somebody said you got a new friend. Welcome back, folks. I got so many stories to cover in this final segment. I really got to pick and choose, I guess. So I could spend hours on any one of these. Chrystia Freeland being appointed as Zelensky's advisor. Very coincidentally. You've got this story, Somali UN Security Council president involved with healthcare company guilty of Medicare fraud in Ohio. Oh, it goes all the way up to the top, folks. This story is making waves. Only fan models and influencers are claiming over half of the coveted U.S. visas meant for artists. A shocking number of U.S. visas reserved for artists of extraordinary ability are going to scantily clad OnlyFans creators and other social media influencers. It was once used to allow John Lennon to stay in the country, but now it's being used by the likes of Bop House stars who come to the U.S. to make adult content. Isn't that interesting? So, over half of the clients seeking coveted O-1B visas in recent years are either performers on the pornography platform or some other kind of influencer, top immigration lawyers told the Florida Phoenix. Yes, apparently we're handing out visas to sluts, to whores. We have a whore visa going. Isn't that nice? We don't have enough whores in this country. We have to import them. Now look, if our immigration system was dominated by sexy ladies, they wouldn't allow it to exist. So, no, it exists because the vast majority of people coming to Western countries are adult men. So, if they were all beautiful women, it would be shut down the next day. Friday will be a day that the Supreme Court will determine whether Trump's tariffs are allowed to continue to operate. Prediction markets suggest a mere 24% chance that Trump's tariffs are upheld. So that could be a very interesting economic day. With the news that Waltz is, this is from Drew Holden on X. With the news that Walt's reelection campaign won't survive the spiraling child care center fraud scandal in his state, I want to re-up some of the worst legacy media efforts to put lipstick on this particular pig. And he has a whole thread of the way they try to spin the story of the Medicare fraud in Minnesota. From the New York Times a few weeks ago, wrote an extensive piece about how fraud swamped Minnesota's social services on Tim Walz's watch. But then Nick Shirley gets the video, and they're there trying to downplay it and say, well, I mean, it's not that big of a deal, actually. Just very funny, again, because, you know, Republicans can't actually believe anything. I mean, sure, we uncover hundreds of billions of dollars worth of fraud that's being robbed from every taxpayer, and that every taxpayer should be concerned with, but it's politically charged footage. So, you know, do we even believe it, really? Tim Walz admits guilt in explosive Smalley fraud scandal. I haven't seen that video. We can pull that in. I'd like to play that a little bit. Now, we have another story, sort of a follow-up, the conclusion to a saga that we've been reporting on for a while. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting dissolves itself after Trump's funding cuts. Now, I know a lot of people on the right were in favor of this. I'm not. Just to be perfectly honest with you, I think PBS is a good thing. I think NPR is a good thing. Even if for no other reason than you have, you know, ad-free content for children that, okay, some of it's not great, but a lot of it is the stuff I watched in the 90s, right? I mean, you can sit down and watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for all eternity on PBS. I think that's actually kind of a nice thing, you know, especially with streaming services costing like more than cable packages used to at this point. I think it's kind of nice that you can offer a service to low-income Americans that they can actually have some quality entertainment for their kids. I don't know. I think it's like, are we not a first-world nation? Can we not provide this basic service, like a couple million bucks a year? Is that really that big of a deal? But my argument was always, why don't we just take it over? Yeah, okay, it's bad. It's been taken over by liberals. It's been taken over by leftists. And it puts out, you know, political hogwash. I get that. I'm against that. Can we not turn it to our ends? Can we not take it over and use these same programs to push our values on the American people? Is that not the right thing to do in this situation? And apparently that was impossible. Apparently that was not an option. You either had to let it be leftist or you had to destroy it outright. We chose to destroy it outright, meaning that, you know, come 2026, the Democrats are going to have that to run on. Say these Republicans just don't want you to have good entertainment. They just see that PBS was a free thing that minorities enjoyed, so they wanted to get rid of it. I know it's a stupid argument, but that's the argument that they're going to make. It's going to be extremely, politically valuable for them. I think it was shooting ourselves in the own foot, foot. And I have to point out that when CBS News was not sufficiently pro-Zionist, they took that over and completely changed the editorial direction. Somehow CBS News was capable of doing this. Not an option with Corporation of Public Broadcasting, not an option for NPR or PBS. Totally impossible that we would remove their leadership and put in leadership that aligns with us. Totally out of the question that we could systematically change their editorial direction to be one more in line with the traditional American values. Not an option, not possible, not even a moment of discussion about that. But I think that would have been the more valuable thing. I think that would have been the more successful operation to pull, but I guess it doesn't exist anymore, so well done us. Good job. Of course, it will continue to exist because the left has billionaires and they'll pour money into it. It's only going to become more left-wing. You understand that, right? They're just going to make up the difference with, you know, NGO money, which is just taxpayer money one step removed, and they're going to not be under any requirement to be fair at all about anything. So, yeah, I just think this is stupid. I think if you can buy CBS News and put Barry Weiss as the editor and change the entire editorial direction that CBS News pumps out, you couldn't do that for PBS. You couldn't do that for NPR. That was impossible. I don't buy it. So I think it's just a stupid thing to do, quite frankly. I think it's going to backfire in a whole bunch of different ways. Meanwhile, we haven't spent nearly as much time as we should on the terror attack in Berlin over the weekend when leftists committed an arson attack that took out power for a huge swath of Berlin in one of the most harsh winters they faced in recent times. A local electricity operator reported that power has now been restored to about 14,000 households and nearly 500 commercial customers. Several large hospitals were back online. But this was, there are like a number of reasons why this deserves attention. One is because it was such a crazy attack. I mean, it was just a blatant terrorist attack. Left-wing groups in Germany just took credit for it and were like, yeah, that was us. We did that. Okay, I have the feeling we're going to see a lot more of this. I have the feeling that they're beta testing this operation and they're understanding that they can get away with it. Because the other thing on top of this is the lack of reporting on this. You have things like BBC, which has headlines that are like, well, you know, leftist organization takes credit for attack in Germany. And then just moves on. Can you imagine? Can you possibly imagine if a right-wing group in Germany took out a power station? The panic, the outrage, the new laws that would be passed, the, you know, nationwide lockdown that would ensue, barely even gets a mention because it was left-wingers, because people in charge are in favor of the left-wingers. Then on top of that, when this happens, the German government rapidly moves in and evacuates all the illegal aliens from the area that was affected. The nursing homes, the old German people, the cancer patients, the people on dialysis in hospitals, they weren't evacuated. The illegal immigrants were. Then the German government tried to charge the German people that were displaced like $100 a night to stay, money that they were not charging to the illegal immigrants. And there was a bunch of outrage and they had to basically back off that and say, okay, we'll cover your stay too. So it's like, do you have any idea? Do you understand what's happening right now? That Germany is being collapsed on purpose, that their industry is dissolving. It's going away completely. Their left-wing radicals are actively now attacking and destroying the infrastructure. The government is not punishing them for that and is instead using it as an excuse to, of course, crack down more on right-wingers and to give illegal immigrants, you know, even greater benefits while depriving the German people and actually trying to exploit the German people who were the victims of this crime by forcing them to pay money to stay in a hotel. It's crazy. It's just so insane what's happening in Germany right now. And it's not any better in UK either. Things like British University urging an M2 exams because they want to decolonize their business school because exams favor white students. But now I want to get to this story about Trump. Because this is, I don't know what to make of this. I'll show you the clip. We'll comment on it. I'll try to get a handle on what exactly is happening here. Clip number one. This is Donald Trump talking about the danger he faces if we don't win the midterms this year. Here's Donald Trump.
But you got to win the midterms, because if we don't win the midterms, it's just going to be I mean, they'll find a reason to impeach me. I'll get impeached. We don't impeach them. You know why? Because they're meaner than we are. We should have impeached Joe Biden for 100 different things.
Yeah, they're going to impeach you, Trump. For sure. 100%. They definitely are. So here's the problem. Here's the problem. Okay. It's like a chain of events, right? Because if they impeach Trump, then that means the sort of the end of Trump's presidency, right? He's going to be tied up in the impeachment. He's not going to be able to focus on anything else. It'll be a giant media circus. I mean, we've been through this before. We know how this works. They don't need anything to base it on. They'll just come up with some random supposed anonymous whistleblower. And if you try to name who they are, Twitter will delete your account, right? Like, again, we've been through this. We know what happened. Okay, so if they impeach Trump, that's essentially the end of Trump's administration. They don't even have to impeach him. If they just win the midterms and take over the House and the Senate, that's the end of Trump's administration for all intents and purposes. That is the end of the Trump agenda, getting anything done, if you can even argue it got anything done up to this point. So if they win the midterm elections, then they will impeach Trump. If they impeach Trump, then that will be the end of the Trump administration and their effectiveness for this, you know, second round. If they're able to impeach Trump and end his policies, then they'll probably be able to get into office next time. If they get into office in 2028, that's the end of America, right? Because they're going to not only pass citizenship by the back door for everybody who's already here illegally, tens of millions of people, as Chuck Schumer has admitted. He said verbatim, our goal is to get a citizenship for the 11 million or however many illegals are here. Okay. You open the border, you bring in tens of millions more while simultaneously certifying or, you know, giving citizenship to the tens of millions that are already here. That's the end of America. Okay. So if we trace back the line, it's if the Democrats win the midterms, then that's the end of America. Okay. Cause and effect. That's the series of events that leads to that. And that's not even to mention the fact that they're going to throw Trump in prison. They're going to throw all of Trump's family in prison. They're going to throw anybody that helped Trump or followed Trump's orders in prison. They're announcing this. They're saying this is what they're going to do. They are making lists right now for people that they plan to bring up on charges for merely following orders from the duly elected president of the United States. So what if we go the other way, right? If we start off on impeachment, we go to the right, we go forward in time, we can see the end of Trump's administration, the voting system doesn't get fixed, they can rig the election from then on out, they get elected, they give citizenship, they open the border, they crush their opposition, they destroy the filibuster, they get to pass whatever they want, they eliminate the Second Amendment, they eliminate the First Amendment. I mean, it's over. It's over. Okay. That's what happens if you go right. What if you go left? Like, how do we get to this point? Well, if you don't fulfill your promises, then you lose the midterms. If you don't deport enough people, then you lose the midterms. If you don't do what you ran on, if you don't fulfill your promises and stop being the slathering dog of Israel and committing arguable war crimes all over the world for no benefit for the American people, if you continue on the path that you've been on for the last, let me check the calendar, year at this point, then you're going to lose the midterms. And if you lose the midterms, you're going to be impeached. And if you're going to be impeached, then that's the end of your agenda. And if it's the end of your agenda, it's the end of America. So if you don't want America to be over, you need to do what you ran on. You need to take the gloves off. You need to arrest the Democrats that are encouraging mutiny against you. I mean, as we speak, not only are the Seditious Six, who made a video encouraging the army to not follow orders, not only have they not been brought up on sedition charges and, frankly, sentenced to death, they're still making statements. They're still doubling down. The worst thing that has happened is that apparently Mark Kelly got censured, whatever that means. They've slightly diminished his retirement payments or something. The man should be on death row, okay? But that's not happening. They're not doing that. At the same time, you have well-funded leftist groups publicly calling for leftists in the military to commit mutiny, to get in contact with them so they can have a network of soldiers in the American army who are there as mutineers, who are ready and willing to participate in an uprising against the lawful authority of our government inside the army. They're making billboards about this. There are like public groups that are out there with advertisements saying, hey, if you're in the army and don't like Donald Trump, you get in contact with us. We'll help you. If you want to disobey orders, you get in contact with us. We'll connect you to other people who want to disobey orders. Maybe in your own battalion. Maybe you guys can group up together. Like, there are leftist organizations, as we speak, publicly encouraging seditious activity inside the American army. Nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's stopping it. Democrats are only doubling down. So Trump, you, like, it is ridiculous how in control you are of the outcome of this. It's entirely up to you, Donald Trump. It is entirely up to you whether you go down in history as the man who saved America, or you go down in history as the man who had a chance to save America and chose not to. As the guy we were playing earlier this week said. That really is it. Ball's in your court. If you listen to Susie Wiles and you spend this entire year on the campaign trail promising things you have not delivered yet, you're going to lose. If you keep going after Thomas Massie like you are, you're going to lose. And we can't afford you to lose. If you lose, we all lose. But how motivated do you think even your diehard supporters are to go out and vote in the midterms? You know, we've played the clip a few times. Susie Wiles saying, Trump doesn't know it yet, but we're going to treat 2026 like 2024. He's going to be on the campaign trail the whole time. And it's like, I think they're trying to destroy you, Trump. I think they're trying to distract you. I think they're trying to wear you out. And they're trying to play into your ego so you can spend this whole year gallivanting around the United States, doing barn burners, you know, for some congressman that has never voted for you, did not have your back for any of the crap you've been put through for the last 10 years, and won't have your back in the future, but you're going to waste your time going out and campaigning for them when they give you nothing in return. I mean, this is such a setup. And like I keep saying to Trump, if somebody out there can get this message to him, you got to break free, man. You got to just do what you have to do. I don't know what is motivating you behind the scenes. I don't know what blackmail. I don't know what promises you've been made. But it requires an explanation. Because it makes no sense. Even for your own self-preservation, you have to arrest the deep state. You have to deport tens of millions of people. We physically, literally, do not have the capability of charging every Somali who has defrauded us. Literally, we can't do it. When you have an entire community of tens of thousands of people all in some way associated with or participating in or helping to cover up fraud, what are you going to have, 10,000 courthouse trials? You need 10,000 judges with 10,000 lawyers, 10,000 prosecutors, 10,000 jurors multiplied by 12. Like, it's not possible. It's not possible. The fraud they've committed is too great. I see headlines. 90 Somalis have been charged. No. We need 50,000 Somalis deported. That needs to be the headline. Or else America is gone forever. Okay, so the ball's entirely in your court. It's entirely up to Donald Trump. He can continue the path that he's on right now. Lose the midterm elections. Be impeached. Have obstacles thrown up in front of him constantly. Just sort of spend the last half of his second administration as a lame duck on the back foot, playing defense, trying to, you know, stay out of jail, only to, you know, spend the rest of your life being hunted like an animal by a, you know, newly empowered and reinvigorated left. Or you can crush them. and you have all the power, all the tools, all the public will you need to do so, you can just do it or not. So the choice is yours. You know you have to do. You know we want you to do. Your instincts seem to inform you on, you know, what you should be doing. You just don't do it. You're not doing it. So that's just where we're at. Okay. So again, he's like, oh, they're gonna impeach me. He's like, Trump in bizarre cancel election rants as he warns he'll be impeached. And he said, you know, he's like, I don't want to cancel the election, but, you know, maybe we will. And it's just like, dude, literally just do what we asked. Just arrest the bad guys. You have more evidence than you could ever possibly need to round up and arrest 24 people from Russiagate, cover up of Russiagate, the 2020 election theft. I mean, it's there. The crown is in the gutter. You can pick it up, put it on your head, secure your legacy and the future of the United States, or you can continue to let it wallow and end up despised by not only your enemies, but the people that once supported you. So, you know, I don't know what Israel's telling you, but that's the actual situation you're in. All right? So, it sucks, but hey, at least he seems to recognize. At least he seems to in some way understand, yeah, dude, if you don't win the midterms, you're screwed. It's just I'm worried that he thinks, okay, to win the midterms, I should go campaign like Susie Wiles said, which is the wrong course of action. You'll win by destroying the deep state and eliminating the Democrats out of contention by crushing their money laundering operations that are all centered around fraud. Again, it's just literally just do it. So you just do it. Just feel free to do it anytime you want. You're not, though, so don't blame us when nobody votes for you. And nobody votes for the people that you tell to vote for, especially people like Thomas Massie. So really sucks. Really sucks how much success we've had only to have it all squandered for the sake of Israel. And that is the obvious interpretation from anybody paying attention. That's going to about do it for us, folks. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let him know who sent you. And there is a massive sale on right now that I honestly think might be a mistake. I'm not, like I've said this before, because really our sales are crazy, where it's like buy one, get one, but you can buy a cheap one and get an expensive one. That didn't make any sense. It's crazy right now. Like, I'm not even going to tell you what the sale is. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. 40% off everything site-wide. That is an unbelievable sale, folks. Go today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Hey! receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.